She'll treat it. What has it been like? That's why we're commanded to give thanks in all things. You are on a prophetic journey. You have a prophetic purpose yet to be fulfilled. That's why we should wake up every day as best we know and with all that's in us and give God thanks. Because the best is yet to come. There's some fulfillment coming. Yeah, we struggle sometimes with internal struggles. We struggle with external struggles. We struggle in the world, but that does not thwart. Because, tell somebody, purpose begins to drive. When you are not in control, when you don't feel worthy and all that, guess what? Purpose is in drive. Because you are a purpose. You are wrapped around a purpose. And there is no counsel against God. Come on, tell somebody, get it together. Let's cooperate with God. Let's stay that prophetic people that prophesy, that keep in the vein, keep in the flow. Mordecai was the son of Shimei. Say this with me: my purpose is my life.
My purpose is my life.
And my life is my purpose. When purpose begins to drive, and we're talking about purpose-driven, that's when God is in complete control. We sometimes can be a little disturbed. Tell somebody, get stirred.
Not shaken.
We get stirred, but not shaken. Don't let stuff shake you. Just let it stir you. Tell somebody, because I'm on purpose. Come on, tell somebody, I'm a purpose. And I'm purpose driven. You can't stop this purpose. God is behind the driving of this purpose. Amen. If he spared your life all those years while you were out in the world, all the crazy you did, and even spared your life after you got saved, all the crazy you did. What he ain't got you just hanging around. It's because you are a purpose. And you are purpose driven. It's a whole lot simpler and easier when we agree, when we submit, when we get in alignment with God. And that's exactly what he's doing. But when it's out of our control, it's in God's control. She was driven by purpose. They called, they came, and they took her into custody. That wasn't no fun. Think about a moment. That's no fun. Taking her out of the home. Let me tell you something about this, because it's a lot more serious than people think. If she was chosen, and when she went to see the king, the king didn't want her as queen, all those women were sent to the second house. And the second house, they never left the second house. They were the king's concubines. They never married. And if the king didn't call for them by name on a personal level, they never left the house. So a whole lot here is in the balance. Either she's going to become queen, or she's going to just drop off the chart in the obscurity the rest of her life and be a concubine to a king who may never, ever call on her. So it was a whole lot more involved here. So tell somebody, purpose begins to drive. God is under control. God is in control completely. Say that right now. God's in control right now. In this moment in time, whatever our feelings and thoughts, wherever our mind is at, God's in control right now. We are a purpose. We are driven by purpose. So that's number two. Let's go to number three, chapter 2, verse 9. Let's take a look at verse 9 through 12. Now Esther, after being purpose driven, she's sent to the house, the first house. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, This is the eunuch. And he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Verse 10, I think it's verse 10. Now Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Now, let's go back to verse 9. Well, give me verse 11 too. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. And verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into to the king, Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. Okay, let's pause there. First of all, Esther was preferred. Now, she may have been physically more beautiful than any of the others, but maybe she wasn't. But somehow God put her in a position of preference. Now, after purpose started to drive, you write this down. This is the next thing. Number three, purpose will begin to purify. There must be a purifying process. God has to get you ready to rule. You're a ruler. It's like what Jesus, the word says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Two distinct, a child is born, but a son is given. Okay, so we're here, but there's a purifying. Now, this purification was interesting as I studied this. It's very interesting, the history of this. Because they gathered women from all classes, all over the place. Some from poorer backgrounds, if they were beautiful, it didn't matter. Some from more wealthy backgrounds, it didn't matter. They just gathered all the young, beautiful virgins together. Now, they had to purify them because the ones that had, and we've seen this, or I know about this in other parts of the world, Do you know your diet when people, I'll say it this way, and this is not a knock on Messiah warriors or their culture, but it's just the way that it is. How they eat food could probably kill us, the way they eat it. But the way they eat, and they're so close to animals all the time that their immune system And everything about them is somewhat different as far as how they can eat stuff. You know, you go there and you try to eat with them and you be throwing up and cramping up and you know, all of that, you know. I went there a couple of times with the Messiah and I had to eat one time. It was after service and I knew they were killing the goat before the service. And I lost it on my phone, but I filmed it. You know, I videotaped when they were cutting off the hoofs and opening it up. And then I realized, this is what we're going to be eating. Yeah, because you go, you eat from their table. That you do that. That's custom. If someone doesn't eat from the table, that's like an offense. It's like some places in the world, if you ain't in somebody's face like this, so they can smell your breath, whether you got a mint in your mouth, whether it's dry, they are offended. Culture. But I'm saying that to say this. What these women, some of them came from backgrounds that were probably, I don't know what word I want to use, but they were poorer. So the foods that they ate, they were more, let me say it this way, like on the line or the level of a Maasai, which would cause, when they sweat, much heavier odors to come from their body. We know about this. I know about this in Africa. And that's why there's such a stench. You know, you get used to it, but such a strong odor among people. all the time. You know, whether they're sweating or not, it's not that they smell or that they don't shower. It's the food that they eat that when, you know, if they do sweat or get into an environment that is heavy. You understand what I mean? Okay, so I want you to understand that. So they send them through the purification. See, with the prophetic flow, there's some frequencies God has to purge out of you. There's some frequencies. He's got to set you on a certain frequency, but he's got to purge some frequencies out. And so with all this soaking and all this purifying in the natural, it was soaking all of that deep embedded odor that they would carry from diet, from, you know, that type of living, so that eventually they could stand before the king. Tell somebody, purpose begins to purify. And pertaining to us, purpose has to bring us to the frequency. And that's why we've been in such a prophetic flow. And like I said, it doesn't have to be screaming and shouting. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Always keep this in mind. This may be your grasp, but always keep your reach out there. This may be where you are, and we're not, you know, complaining and murmuring. I'm content, but my grasp is always out further. There's always more that God has, and it keeps us alive and well as we move. We're moving. If something's not growing, it's dying. And we don't want just to be stuck on facts. No, we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the word of our testimony. We overcome. Tell somebody I'm an overcomer. So purpose begins to purify. It purifies the frequencies and all those things. It moves those frequencies out. And after about a year, they're ready to be presented to the king. Give me verse 13 through 17 of chapter 2. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women. Remember I mentioned that second house. To the custody of Shazgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. And she couldn't marry either. So she stayed in that second house the rest of her life if the king didn't call her. Next verse. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed. Visit our website at www.trbanks.com.